Well, we've been talking about growing up, living a prioritized life. And we brought out 5 points. And point number one is to get ourselves under control and out of the way. Point number two, get our enemy under control. Point number three, to perfect our fellowship. And point number four, to develop our calling. And point number five is to enter our calling. But the last two, to develop our calling and to enter our calling, those two I can't go into detail and preach them on a Sunday morning because of the involvement of doctrine and things that have to be taught more in a Sunday school program and or else special classes for that because of the involvement and what is required. But the first three we have covered pretty much. To perfect our fellowship is really found in the entire book of 1 John. And that book was written, predicated on the basis of John, the Apostle John, receiving a word from Jesus as one of the pastors of that church at Ephesus about the church getting back to its place of first love. And then that's when I discovered that 1 John, 2nd, 3rd, was written after the book of the Apocalypse or the book of Revelation. And so we are going to go into teaching that book again, 1 John. And I'll be announcing to you when I will be doing that. And so we're going to go through that entire book on a Wednesday evening. We call that our meet night for those that are here for the first time and want to know something about our church. We hold services Sunday morning, Word Connections Sunday evening or any other day of the week. And then, of course, Wednesday evening, we call it meet night. Right now, we're teaching a series on the love of God. And so, having said all that to say that, this morning I asked the Lord, what direction should I go in to feed your people? And somehow he brought up the subject that kind of surprised me. So, usually it's not for one person, but for everybody. But evidently there's a need for it, so the Lord impressed upon me to teach on it this morning. And I'm going to teach on the subject of peace. Peace. And a lot of people don't understand what the Bible has to say about peace. And one time after service, as I was leaving, someone grabbed me and they asked me what Jesus meant in Matthew chapter 10 about, think not that I've come to bring peace. and he wanted to know about that particular verse. Well, it quickened to me real quick, like, that that's a subject that should be spoken on, taught to the body of Christ. Because how many of you in this building have experienced no peace? Has there been one or two? Good. I'm glad that there's been one or two. So should I go ahead and teach on the subject? Or since I was only one or two that's really experienced no peace, that means the rest of you have been walking in it. Maybe you ought to get up here and teach the subject yourself. No, I got to watch that. I'm getting out of peace now. Praise God. So in Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 36, let's read there. Let's start there. It says, the Lord said something that many people have been puzzled about. Think not that I came to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foe shall be they of his own household. Then also in Luke chapter 12, we read at verse, starting at verse 51, Suppose ye that I came to give peace on earth. I tell you nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father. But the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. So I think we need to do some teaching about peace here, going on here. The Bible speaks of different kinds of peace. And the first time I was reading about Jesus coming in a manger and being born, and that's in Luke chapter 2, at verse 14 it said that he manifested for the subject of the peace of God for mankind. The peace of God for mankind. And so when I read, "Think not that I came to send peace on the earth," that confused me when I read in Luke chapter 2 verse 14 about he came to bring peace on earth. So it's kind of confusing in a way. And so the Bible speaks of different kinds of peace. It first of all speaks peace with God. And that's found in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. And then it speaks of the peace of God. And that's a very interesting type of peace. We find that in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And then we have what we call peace on earth. And this is kind of a universal peace, which will come to the nations only when Christ rules on the earth. And so these different kinds of peace is mentioned in Scripture. But I want to talk to you something that's very important about these different kinds of peace. A lot of times we don't really realize the importance of understanding its meaning, and yet in the Old Testament, it talked about God being Shalom, Shalom, the God of peace. Actually, peace, peace. And so if you will, first of all, let's open up to Psalms 34:14. Psalms 34:14. And I'm going to share some things with you about peace. And then I think you'll begin to understand how these other pieces, this other piece fits into the equation of what we were talking about. In Psalms 34, let me get there. And verse 14. Psalms 34:14. Yeah. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Depart from evil and do good and seek peace and pursue it. Now, what this verse is telling me is that we are responsible to pursue peace. You know, I never really saw the responsibility of that because I thought now that I'm born into the kingdom of God, peace will just become a part of my life. And I found after a while that's not true. But here it says that you are to pursue peace. But it said before that, it said, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So you have to understand the first part before you understand the second part. The word to depart from evil means to turn away or turn off or turn from. And that's the word here for evil is literally a place that someone puts themselves in that is not a good standard for happiness. It literally means they're living in such a way that they cannot have peace. And so he says, and do good. That means desire to have happiness or peace in our life. And how many of you can say that don't take the Bible to tell us we want peace? I mean, there isn't anyone in this room that would not desire to have peace. There isn't anyone in this room that would desire to be happy. But thank God I'm going to show you how we can go there. First of all, the word seek means to strive after. And I thought this word was very interesting in the Hebrew because a lot of people don't realize that the Hebrew nation had the whole world against them. And one thing about the Hebrew nation, they were great worshipers. They knew how to worship God. And the nation took heart, all 12 tribes took heart in worshiping God together. And the whole nation, all 12 tribes, prayed together. A lot of people don't realize that the tent of the meeting where everyone, all nations came together to observe Moses and God coming down to meet Moses face to face in the pillar of smoke. And so everyone would go to the tent of their meetings, the children and everybody, and they would pray together and communicate together with God. And so when it's said here to seek or to strive after peace, he was referring that one way you can seek after peace is through prayer and worship. And you know, people who pray a lot, you'll find that eventually they obtain a spirit of peace about them. Because people who pray go to God to get an answer from Him. And one thing about communicating with God is that God communicates back. Has any of us ever thought of that? And when He communicates back, yeah, He can say yes, He can say no, He can give warnings, He can do all that. But literally the whole outcome of communicating with God is so that God can speak into your life peace. That is His main point. That's what He wants. Too bad the whole world, they have the ability to know what peace is, but they will never find it until Jesus comes back. World peace is out of the question. If you don't get that revelation by now, then you're going to be men most miserable. I have learned that if I want peace, I have to pursue it for myself. And one way that I can pursue it is through prayer and worship. I enjoy coming now to my services and getting involved with worship. And sometimes you can feel a real connection with God in worship. And other times you can't feel anything. But you know what? I don't let my body tell me anything when I'm in worship. I don't go by my feelings to worship God. I go by what I know to do, and that is to worship God. Amen. And to desire to enjoy His presence. And it says, and pursue it. It means to run after it. It literally means to hunt for it. Matter of fact, this word has a connotation of a hostile intent. Have you ever seen anybody that was hostile about something and they go after it to pursue it, to destroy it? Well, this is the kind of word that it's referring to, is to pursue it as something very valuable and purposeful in our life. And so when we look at the scripture, we can't take it nonchalantly. We have to take it with importance. Well, the first part of it that is important is that we have to depart from evil. And the second part is to seek and pursue it. No, you cannot seek and pursue peace and continue in the area where there is no peace. Have you ever thought of that? People say, well, I wish I could find peace. Well, what are you doing about it? I don't know, but I'm so fed up with what's going on around here. Well, right there, that'll tell you. You're not seeking or pursuing peace. Now, I'm going to say something that might catch your attention. Did you know that everyday life, your everyday life, can hide your peace that's promised you? If you haven't figured that one out, turn on the TV set. Sue and I, we've gotten to the point now that we mute all commercials. I don't want to sit and listen to them. All they can do is give you an added thought to death. Do you guys know that? So I just mute them. And I told God, I'm going to tell my whole church, do the same thing. Mute them. Because them suckers go on for 5 minutes anyway before the program comes back. Now we have 25 minutes of commercials and 10 minutes movie. And it's stupid. We sit there and we listen to that stuff time and time again. And I found that people don't always function correctly that get around me. Some people are strange to my way of thinking. They're strange. Their concepts are not proper. But I've learned that in spite of other people, I don't have to let that affect me if I don't want to. And I can be with people and be at peace. But boy, I'll tell you what, if I let people bother me to the way some of us have let people bother us, then your everyday life with people can hide your ability to be at peace. Why? Because, first of all, it's your responsibility to pursue it, and everyday life can do everything to keep you away from it. Well, I'm glad you're all excited about today's message anyway. But I'm going to share something with you, and I don't want this to be a downer for you. But did you know that when you seek peace, it is a lifelong process? Sorry I said that. There are some people who believe that all they have to do is keep their mind in the Word of God, and He will keep me at perfect peace. Yeah, that's a good thought. Do it. Now, turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And in Colossians chapter 3, let's go to verse 15. Verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Wow. But if you read the verses before it, it gives us a very interesting thing, thought. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Notice what he said here. What he said before that was that we were to put on love, and we were commanded to be at peace with each other, to be at peace with each other. But then he comes down and he says, and let the peace of God rule your hearts. There's something else that comes with peace. It's a choice. Peace is a choice. Some people go through life and say, well, if God's speaking to me, I'll be at peace. If He isn't, I won't be at peace. No, listen, that's nice. That's very religious. That's very spiritual of you. But really, peace is a choice. And not only that, but it says in this verse that it is to rule you. Peace is to rule us. And I'm going to tell you, that is so important to understand. Matter of fact, in Proverbs 12:20, it talks about... Well, let's turn over there, Proverbs 20. I hope this is helping somebody. In Proverbs chapter 20. And I might say, with some people, in some situations, in some things... This really is good for you to work on. In Proverbs chapter 20, look at verse 20. Proverbs 20:20. I'm sorry, 12:20. I was going to sit there and read, that ain't the scripture I want. I didn't even want to even confess it. Proverbs 12:20, you're correct. In Proverbs 12:20, it says, deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil. But counselors of peace, notice this, have joy. Now notice this, this is really good. The word for counselors here in the Hebrew means someone who promotes peace. Someone who promotes peace. And it says that the ones who promote peace, notice what it says, they have joy. Have you ever been around somebody that promotes warnings all the time? Promotes what possibly could be going wrong? And you're sitting there and listen to them. They can even be speaking wisdom. They can even be speaking truth. But how it can depress you. Okay, now that you're communicating to us and promoting what is evil, what can you promote that will bring me great joy? You know what I'm talking about? And you'll find that, well, that's not where I'm at right now. I'm not trying to give you some joy. I'm trying to give you some warnings. Well, I thank you for your warnings, but can you promote some joy here with it, you know? Because people can be very negative. That don't mean we have to be negatory. Amen? And so it says here that those who promote peace is because they have joy. Now, in James chapter 1, let's go there. James chapter 1. We're going to bounce around to some scriptures here. That's very important. James chapter 1. And in James chapter 1, notice what it says here. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If Proverbs 12:20, what it says, then James 1:2 is a good follow-up. Because here it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Okay, if you're going to give me the negatory, give me the pository. Oh, I shouldn't have said that one. I meant, sorry, I didn't mean to say that. But anyway... Anyway, how important that is. With that thought, go over to John 16. You got to get away from that one real quick, like. But it says that when they fall into various testings and trials, they have joy. Well, and the only way that you're going to have joy is you're going to have to be at peace. You know what I mean? Now, in John chapter 16, I should have had all these written down so that we wouldn't have to turn to them. In John chapter 16, look at verse 33. Verse 33. It says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Here we go again. To me, a guy that is of good cheer, he's got a lot of joy going on. Amen? And he says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Boy, isn't that a good thing to know? That Jesus overcame the world? Well, what good does it do for Jesus to overcome the world? What about me? Because if you're a joint heir with him and that he has overcome the world and you have find peace in him, then guess what? The peace in him you can have. You can have joy and he will bring you out of the various trials and things that you run into in your life. He's promised to do that for you because he has promised you that you can operate by a faith that has been completed in him. Amen. Glory to God. Negative things all the time removes the absent T, it removes the faith of God in our hearts. We've got to keep the faith of God in our hearts as our GPS, our what keeps us centered where we belong. Now, go to John 14:27. I love this verse. This is a verse that I love. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Woo! Don't let it be afraid. Now this word afraid is a very interesting word. It means someone who has permitted fear to enter in. And we've sang some songs here this morning about fear. Are you following me? And so when he says, peace I leave with you, guess what? He leaves it with us. So there again, it's our responsibility and our choice to pick up what he has left us. People, how many of you realize that we're living in a very dangerous fallen world? I mean, anything can happen. Now, I'll hold on that one, Lord. Yes, I'll hold on that one. Go to Romans 15. Romans chapter 15. You know, I don't know if any of you have really picked it up, but I picked it up with some believers that really don't want to enter into the realm of faith, because the one thing they always tell you, and I'm talking about negative believers, there is such a thing, is that you don't want to tell them that because you might get their hopes up. How many of you ever, you better watch what you tell them because you might get their hopes up. And what if it doesn't happen? How many of you ever found that? You know something? My Bible doesn't tell me that. It doesn't teach me that in the Lord. Don't get your hopes up. Because if you do, it can really let you down. Well, you're already down. So if I grab a hold of a hope, how many of you ever see that movie? Up, that cartoon movie Up, and that guy gets a hold of all them balloons and takes his house up in the air. It's called Up, you know. Don't get up, because if you get up, you might be let down. Well, there are people who can let the air out of your balloon. In Romans 15:13, now may the God of peace. No, now may the God of hope, fill you with all joy. Notice this, here we go again. Joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I like that verse. Do you guys like that verse? Good, let's read it together. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Ghost. But I've got news for you. You want to get peace? You want to pursue it? You want to go after it? You got the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you? You will find it. Glory to God. It's as near as in your mouth and in your heart. Glory to God. Ooh, I like that. Ooh, man. I like this. I like one translation says, may it overflow with hope. But in Hebrews 6:19, you know what it talks about, the godly hope? A godly hope? It says, a godly hope will anchor your soul. You know what an anchored soul means? It won't fluctuate. It won't bounce off the natural mind and over into the spiritual mind, from the spiritual mind back to the natural mind. James calls that a two-souled or a double-minded individual. He don't know how to stay in one realm versus the other. I found that when I make a choice to go to peace, I found that where I'm going to peace is because where I've been is no peace. And that doesn't go away. I go away from that. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Ooh. Boy, I feel anointing God all over me. Philippians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Let's go to verse 6. Philippians 4, 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let your requests be made known to God. Let your requests be made known to God. In corporate prayer, I get so excited when people give us their petition, because I know what going to God with for prayer for an answer comes with it. You know what comes with it? Peace. And some people handed me their petition like, oh, God knows something. People, do you know what a privilege it is for you and I to be able to be in a position to talk to the God of the universe with a petition? What a privilege. Now, this is what the writer is telling us. He's saying, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses what? Your head. My head. Yeah. Surpasses all your understanding. Will guard your hearts and minds through Christ. Guard my heart and my mind through Christ Jesus. Yes! But you don't want to go there. You don't want to get their hope up. You might remove all the air from their balloons. Notice what he said. Guard your hearts and minds. Look at that. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding. You know, people, you know, did you know that you pray with your understanding? How many of you know that? And it says you pray with your understanding and you pray with your spirit. Most people come to say, I don't know what to pray for, so I just pray in the spirit. So we get the understanding that praying with our understanding is where we're stupid. We automatically get that thought. Well, yeah, praying in our understanding is a good thing. But getting over and praying in the Spirit is 100% mark. Did you know that when he said, what, I will pray with my understanding and I will pray with my spirit? He wasn't saying, I will pray with my understanding because I'm stupid. He says, I will pray with my understanding because I know how to pray with my understanding, because I know what the revealed will of God is. But there are some things and situations I get into that even though I know the will of God for me, I don't understand it for somebody else. So that's when I'll switch from my understanding over into the understanding that the Spirit gives. Are you following what I'm saying? It doesn't mean that just because I'm praying in my understanding, I'm stupid. It means I'm praying in the understanding because I know the will of God for that particular situation. But sometimes I don't know the will of God for that particular situation, so I don't sit there and just jump over into the Spirit because I'm stupid in the natural. And so when he says here, And when he says here, and the peace of God surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart. The understanding that he's referring to here is the understanding of the position that you might be in or you might see others in, that you really don't know how to pull them out of it because they might not have the understanding. And so when you pull it over into that realm, then you know that you can have peace because God will go to work on it on your behalf because God is God and he knows how to do it. This is good stuff whether you agree with it or not.
Well, Pastor, again, did you know that the world's not made up of just all glory and faith, and there are some tragedies that come along our way?
Then get the CD and go over the message. You might get it. Now, I'm going to tell you something about peace. Why is it so important? Can anybody tell me? His name starts with S. And it ends with an N. Can anybody fill in the words of me? S-A-T-A-N, Satan. Is there anything that Satan can offer you that will bring you peace? No. Is there anything in you that Satan has rule over that you inherited in Christ? No. Nothing. But Satan knows that if he can get you in an area of anxiety, he can devour you because you do not have peace. Oh, where's that? In 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5, he says he goes and looks for somebody. Actually, in the Greek, he goes and looks for somebody he can gulp down. Devour is to gulp down, to drink down, which literally is indicating he looks to quench his thirst on somebody. Well, who is he looking to quench his thirst on? Somebody that is full of anxiety and the cares of this life that do not know how to go to that place of peace. Did you all get something here? Hallelujah. 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 What'd you say? Hallelujah. 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 If I'm not free, then how are you going to be free? I got to be free so you can be free. And I got to worry and take on the care of you. Yeah, I do. But thank God I got a place called peace where I can take on a care and a concern for you. It's called a good one. A good care and a good concern. Somebody said, oh, don't tell them that. Don't take care. Well, from my understanding, when I tell somebody to take care, I'm saying take the responsibility that belongs to you. That's what I say. I'm not saying take on worry and anxiety and fear and frustration. See you later. They'd look at me and slap me. You're not my friend, you're my enemy. I would be if I talked that way. But when I tell people to take care, I'm saying to take the responsibility that is due you so that you can have peace. The devil don't want you at peace. He wants you frustrated. He doesn't want you to see that you can have joy and be full of life. He doesn't want you to be at peace. Why? Because when you're not at peace, people, you don't think right. You don't think straight. Unless you have arrived to the point where nothing bothers you. And I've seen people end up that way where nothing bothers them. They are so emotionally dead that eventually they take their own life. Do you know God wants us to have emotions, but He wants us to be in self-control of them emotions? Why? Because emotion can take you out of peace quicker than anything else. Again, it's a lifelong process. And so, I want to say, it's up to us to go after God and let Him rule in our hearts by peace. That is the peace that God intended for us to have. Now, universal peace, I'm just going to give you a heads up, it ain't coming. There ain't going to be nation at peace with nation. I guarantee you, once we get one nation at peace with another nation, there's another nation that will rise up against another nation. Why? Because the world doesn't know what universal peace is. People will say, well, there is such a thing as fighting things so that we can have peace. The only way you're going to have peace is for you as an individual to go there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, that doesn't mean that we just don't take no care at all for the world and who we elect and who we don't elect and things. I'm not saying that. I'm saying there is a responsibility that we all must do, such as getting out and voting or whatever it is. But those responsibilities are good responsibilities. We need to do our part in the natural. Are you following me? But listen, this fallen world is not a natural functioning world. Unless, in case you hadn't figured that one out by now. We can only do our part, but we do not allow ourselves to be deceived. No one can rise up and promise this world perfect peace. If somebody rises up and promises this world as perfect peace, then you've missed the rapture. He's called Antichrist. He's the only one that's going to promise the world peace. And He's not going to give it. Why? Because He's a liar. He's a deceiver. So we're limited at what we could do for this world as far as this world having peace. But we need to do something. But on the other hand, in living in this fallen world, we need to get a revelation. We need to get a revelation that God has promised us peace in our hearts through Jesus Christ, who did something for us to obtain it. Thank God for Jesus. You know, my heart goes out to those who don't have Him, because they don't have no way of having the peace that we can cling to. People, don't wallow in misery. Don't do that. Pursue peace. Pursue peace even with all people. Get away from evil things. Get away from things that are not right. Because if you don't, then they just compound the problem. See? I've had so many people come to me and just disrot and just downtrodden. And so then you ask them, what are you doing? Are you doing this? Well, no, I can't do that because of this. Well, have you done this with that? Well, I can't do this with that because that got me. And I'm sitting and I want to just grab them and say, well, what will work for you? Because they are so adapted to pursuing where there is no peace, they don't know how to take the road where there is peace. You don't sit there and tell somebody, well, I tried that. And you give them, well, this is, if you go this direction for peace, what do you say? Well, I can't do that. Then you want to say, well, then get back out of my office. Don't worry, it's none of you in this congregation I'm talking to, because they all left. Anyway, I'm going to tell you, sometimes I've been so down. And yeah, your pastor, I've been down. I've been depressed. And I had somebody come up to me one day and said, Pastor, can I share something with you? Well, it depends on what it is. You know, God just told me to tell you that you're really loved of Him. He told you that? Yeah. Thank you so much. As simple as that is, for you to have somebody tell you that God told you to tell them He loves them. What a shot in the arm. It's like getting your flu shot. It's like getting a flu shot. When you get a flu shot, you'll escape the flu. But when you give a peace shot, you'll find peace. Praise God. Sometimes I just want to encourage my leaders, you know, when they do a good job. What it means to me to do the job they do. You know, I was going and watching all those little kids, you know, going through the classrooms, and I thank my church so much for the ones that got behind and put all that together for those little kids. Carol and Tammy and all of them, I can't name them all, but I said, Lord, I thank you so much for them. Thank you so much for them because they did something for these little kids. What a precious thing. You know, that's why it's so important to understand what it means to be at peace, especially with yourself. Because when you get at peace with yourself, you get yourself off your mind. You get your mind on somebody else when you start walking in peace. Hallelujah. I felt guilty leaving last night because they were all working so hard to clean up and everything. And so I think that's why I folded a few chairs and picked up things on the ground and stuff and threw them in the, I had to appease my conscience. But I'm just so thankful for so many that labor with me in this church. I thank God for my staff. Every day I thank so much. What a wonderful staff I have. I thank God they're not perfect. Why? Because it makes me sharper. But I love them all. I love them. I thank God for my elders. I have a lot to thank God for. But when I chose to be at peace, I'm more at rest now than I've ever been. But there was a time in ministry I didn't have peace. Why? I was always concerned about what somebody else would do. Now I'm not that way. I'm at peace. Because I trust the gospel. I trust where I'm at with the Lord, and I trust what I give you. So I'm at peace. Hallelujah. I'm at peace by the things that I do, that I choose to do, that would not put me in a position where I wouldn't be at peace. I'm at peace. Stand up, everybody. Hallelujah. I'm getting too emotional here. You know you're through when you look at everybody and they all look good. Heavenly Father, maybe I shouldn't hold an altar call on this, except for the fact that if you're here and you have not been born again, we would love to pray with you. If you would love to accept Jesus into your heart, we would love to pray with you. And if you have accepted Jesus in your heart, but you haven't had the fullness of the Holy Spirit working through you, we would love to pray for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is so important. Hallelujah. So if you're here today and that's something that you would like to do, feel free to step out and come forward, anybody. Salvation or the baptism of the Spirit. Anybody? Well, today I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to lead us all into prayer to God in thanking Him that we all have the ability to live in peace. And if you're not living in it, then this prayer that we're going to pray together, let it be a voice to Him. Let it be a voice to Him. Just follow me, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for our Savior Jesus. We thank You, Father, that He promises us that we can have peace because He overcame the world for us. That means He will work in every situation that would destroy me. Therefore, I can have peace that He would work on my behalf. Thank You, Jesus, for shalom, shalom. Peace, peace. We thank You and we praise You for it. Now let's lift our hands. Father, thank You, hallelujah, for peace. Thank You so much, Heavenly Father. We can have it, Father. I thank You that we can have peace in this fallen world. And Father, we can administer peace, promote it for someone else as well, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen means so be it. So be it. Okay, you can go home.